Stand by for Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM, AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, our guest is Melissa Lindley from Hospice. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about yourself before we get into hospice.
Well, I've been with Willamette Valley Hospice for over 10 years. I'm originally from Salem, moved away for a little while in my adulthood, then moved back. Always staying on the Northwest. I moved to Eugene for a few years and up to Bellingham, Washington for a few years.
Kind of went from a Duck fan to a Seahawk fan.
Right, and then back again.
So. To a no fan.
But we're so happy to be back in Salem, and I just think it's wonderful to see how our community continues to grow and change, and I meet new people every day, even though I grew up here and have been here a long time.
So what is your educational background?
Well, I went to Western Oregon University, and I studied social sciences and minored in Spanish.
Okay.
And I have some experience in public health, social services, and now in hospice care.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about hospice. Hospice, in my opinion, is fabulous. My mom was on hospice before she passed. Recently, we lost a friend on hospice there. And it's just an unbelievable organization. How did you get involved with hospice?
When I moved back here from Bellingham over 10 years ago, I thought, I really want to work for another organization that really values volunteers and where volunteerism is a huge part of the agency. And there happened to be a volunteer coordinator position open at Willamette Valley Hospice. And I thought, gosh, I know about hospice. I had previously, just recently before that, had an acquaintance that had passed away utilizing hospice services. And having hospice in her home let her stay independent and living in her own home, which was really important to her. So I thought, this just seems meant to be. I got the job, and I'm so lucky I did. I moved into my current role about a year later, where now I get to educate the community on hospice programs and end-of-life issues in general. And so I feel like it was just kind of like a lot of really good things that happen in your life. They sort of happen without you putting very much effort into it. It was serendipitous. It wasn't something I had planned out. Boy, am I glad that I landed at Willamette Valley Hospice. I mean, it's been a blessing to my personal life, my family's life, as we have lost 4 of our family members during that time and had help along the way from my wonderful coworkers. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to get to talk about these very difficult but important discussions in our community.
What is hospice? What is hospice care?
Oftentimes people think of hospice as a place, but in reality, it's a philosophy of care. And it was brought over from England back in the 70s here to the U.S. And so it's really a philosophy of care that shifts the way we look at our medical health from curing an illness to putting comfort and quality of life at the forefront. It was really kind of a really different thing at the time because we had gone from, in the early 1900s, everyone died at home with the help of their family members taking care of them until the very end. Mm-hmm. And then as we had so many medical advances in the mid-20th century, you know, by 1950, most people were dying in a hospital again. That really changed about 20 years later, when Dame Cecily Saunders in the UK said, there's got to be a better way that people could be more comfortable at the end of life, that we could focus on the time they have left and what they want to do instead of what health practitioners think they should do. And so that really shifted our thinking. And about 10 years later, that came to the mid-Willamette Valley with a group of volunteers that started Willamette Valley Hospice.
Now, is hospice only here in the Willamette Valley, or is it nationwide? Is it statewide? Where is hospice?
So hospice is all over the world, but not in every country. But it's all across the U.S. Well, some countries just don't know about hospice yet. It usually takes a group of people that wants to start it. Ours is pretty institutionalized in our country by now because Medicare has been covering hospice coverage, hospice care since the late 80s, early 90s. So by now, we're kind of used to hearing about hospice. Mm-hmm. We may not be really familiar with it until we've had a personal experience, but we know it exists. And that's not the case all over the world. But all across the U.S., almost every community is served by a hospice. Now, in some places, like larger cities, you might have a choice of a lot of different hospices. And in other tiny communities, you might only have one hospice that serves that area. Originally, hospices were all nonprofit, grassroots-type organizations started by volunteers or by a governmental agency, like a local public health of the county, for example. Now things have really changed. Now that insurance covers hospice and Medicare covers hospice, it's about 50-50 in terms of how many for-profit corporations there are providing hospice care and nonprofit organizations. Some hospices are associated with hospitals or other large healthcare systems. So we're kind of getting to be a little more unique in that we're a private, freestanding nonprofit hospice, not attached to a large healthcare system and not run by a corporation.
All right, you said there's different types of hospice. What are the different types?
Right, so some might be part of a hospital system.
Okay.
Some might be more like a franchise, almost, a corporation. And then we're a nonprofit. So you might have a nonprofit that's run by a hospital system that's also a nonprofit.
If you're a nonprofit, how do you stay in business?
Well, we also bill Medicare and private insurance for those hospice patients. It covers the time that they're on hospice, and it covers kind of these core services. For the extra services that we offer that are completely the choice of Willamette Valley Hospice to offer, and we have invested in those services like music therapy, pet therapy, massage therapy, grief services. We even have the Edward F. Tokarski Home for folks that need a place to call home in their last few months or weeks of life. All of those services are really, we rely upon donors for those services.
Okay. Well, let's get into a little bit about hospice now. Let's go with my mother. She's perfectly fine talking about it. When my mom came down with cancer, was diagnosed with cancer, they told her she had probably about 6 weeks to go. And being the stubborn Italian that she was, she went a year and a half. She says, I'm not going to be ready in 6 weeks. I've got too much. I got to get finished up here. And so she was ready in a year and a half.
That's so great.
Hospice came in there. My mom had a wicked sense of humor. I wonder where I get mine. And it was okay. I was sitting with her during that initial meeting until they asked her one question. And then she lost it. And they asked her, they said, if we come into your house and we find you unconscious, do you want us to try and, what is it, do life-saving technique on you? And basically, what, CPR? Is that
right.
What we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And that one was a tough question for her to answer. And at that point, she looked at me and she says, don't look at me, Mom. But that was a tough question for her to answer. And she basically told him, she says, no, if I'm already passed, leave me alone. Let me go there. Other than that, you guys came aboard and were fabulous. We tried to keep Mom at home as long as we could. But then there comes a point where when you're doing 24 hours a day, you know, you're only human. You can only do so much. And then you need, man, I need a break. I need
right.
a break. And she was staying at my sister's house. And my sister, I remember calling me up and says, can you guys come over and just let me go outside and go to the park or walk, or grocery shop, something for an hour or two? And hospice came in and says, hey, you know what? We'll do this. We'll come over and take over for a while. So you guys came in there and gave us a break. Is that part of the program? Or
absolutely. Those volunteers I was telling you about and why I was so interested in working at Willamette Valley Hospice to begin with, they are incredible. And we have this cadre of volunteers that are trained and are available and willing to go into folks' houses and sit for 3 or 4 hours so that family caregiver can get a break. Sometimes they haven't slept very well.
Right.
They need to go to their own medical appointment or do something fun for just a few minutes.
Sometimes you just need to go outside and catch your breath, you know, and just kind of be like, okay, and realize what's going on.
Absolutely.
And the other part that is I think that was for us was, you know, that is, first of all, your parent. That was my mom. And we know what's coming. And, you know, we lost my dad when I was 7 years old, so I don't remember that very much. Knowing that she's going to be passing soon, you know, you think you have accepted all of that, but then when the time comes, you haven't really accepted it all.
Well, and it's really a process. Even just getting the diagnosis, there's a loss there, right? Ooh, already there's a loss of time to us.
Right.
We're grieving all along the way, even before our loved one has died. And so at each step of the illness, as things change, sometimes grief kind of starts anew, or a new grief comes up of something that we perceive as a loss during that time.
In order to be a volunteer, you said they go through some training. What type of training are they going through?
Oh, gosh. They are amazing, our volunteers. And they come to a session with us. They do some training on their own. We have some things available online or by self-study. But they come into our office and they meet with our nurses and our social workers, spiritual counselors, hospice aides, our volunteer coordinators. And, of course, they go over all the things that people need to know, like privacy, confidentiality, infection control, but also what's it like being in the home with someone that's dying if you haven't done that before. Now, most people, by the time they come to us to be a volunteer, they've either had a personal experience with Willamette Valley Hospice, maybe they've had a friend or a family member that has passed away, or some experience with death or bereavement, and they want to try to help give back. And so they're there to help other families go through that process as well.
Is that what most of the people that come on board have been through that, like
you said? A lot of people that come on board have had a personal experience. Not everyone. Some people, it's amazing to me, sometimes we get some wonderful young people, college students, that are interested in this as a career, and they're not afraid to journey into something new and learn something new that maybe they haven't experienced yet.
Do your volunteers, I mean, if you've been with somebody for however long it's been, and then they finally pass on, do your volunteers, I mean, that's going to tug at the heart. Come on.
Oh, it's hard, especially people like your mom, maybe, that stayed on service a really long time, and so they got to know them quite well if they were visiting them weekly or every 2 weeks.
She fed them regularly, you know. Spaghetti dinner regularly.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes our volunteers do need to take a break for themselves after their client has died. They might need to take a little break before getting assigned a new client and let themselves do their own grieving and healing.
Now, how many clients does your typical volunteer take care of?
Well, it just depends. Maybe it's just one if they're going once a week. Another volunteer might say, hey, I can go to this care facility or nursing home, and if you have two or three patients there, I could drop in once a week and just visit them all three, one at a time, one after another. So it really just depends on the individual need of the family and the patient. All our families have different needs. Maybe they just want to volunteer one time, or maybe they live far away and their dad lives here in a care facility and they would like someone to come in and check on them every week.
Okay, and you can do that, what, once a week, twice a week,
yeah.
However long?
Usually it's about once a week. We don't want to overburden our volunteers. They need to take care of themselves so they can keep giving to our families also.
Right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's guest. Our guest is Melissa Lindley from the hospice. Did I say it right, your last name right?
Yes.
Okay, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Brought to you today by our good friends over at the Willamette Queen. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. She's back in the river, the Willamette Queen.
Hello, this is Terry Fader.
And I'm Winston the Impersonating Turtle.
Hey, you're listening to my buddy, Terry Saul.
Saltissimo!
She's back in the river. Yes, the Willamette Queen is back. Bigger, better than ever. The next time you plan an event, think of the Willamette Queen. Whether it's a lunch cruise, a gourmet dinner cruise, a brunch cruise, or just an excursion, they are back, and they are operating year-round. Give the Willamette Queen a call, 503-371-1103. That's 503-371-1103. Remember, it's the Willamette Queen.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Show. Today's guest is Melissa Lindley from Hospice, and we're talking all about hospice care. And some people, Melissa, are eligible for hospice, some are not. Who is eligible?
To be eligible for hospice services, someone has to have a life-limiting illness. And if that illness were going to continue the way it's been going, two physicians would need to agree that their life would most likely end within 6 months.
Okay.
So, in general, it's a 6 months or less prognosis to live.
But how do they know that, though? I mean, how... I know this is a tough question, but when a doctor says you've got 6 months, how do they know?
Right.
They told my mom 6 weeks, and she proved them wrong.
Right.
But I'm sure they're accurate, too. They could say 6 weeks, and 6 weeks is 6 weeks.
So what happens is, well, we always like to say, we haven't found a crystal ball that works 100% yet,
sure.
Right? So physicians are looking at how their illness has been. In general, if someone's been having to go to the hospital a lot to manage symptoms, if their health has changed, this is a good time to start having those conversations with your physician or to call Willamette Valley Hospice directly to ask questions about what to look for depending on your particular health situation. I had something very similar happen with my grandma. She had Alzheimer's disease. We know Alzheimer's is a terminal progressive illness, but it can take
a
long time. And it's hard to tell when someone qualifies for hospice. And we knew we wanted hospice for her when she qualified. Her physician actually referred her to hospice. Our nurses went out and did an evaluation and said, you know what? She doesn't quite qualify yet. But they gave us ideas of what to look for so we'd know what to expect as her disease progressed and when to call them back again to say, I think she's ready now. And some illnesses like Alzheimer's are just a bit unpredictable and tough to tell. We have to be careful because, of course, we have to follow all regulatory guidelines, and we're a very ethical company. And so it's important to us at Willamette Valley Hospice that we aren't accepting patients before they're really eligible for hospice. But in general, I have to say most people come onto hospice way later than they would have qualified. Half of hospice patients actually nationwide only receive care for 17 days or less.
You're
so
kidding.
So it's a much bigger problem that people don't call earlier. And the number one comment we get from family members is, I wish we would have called sooner.
You know, that is so bizarre when you said that, because my brother, who I lost just a few years ago, went into the hospital on the 1st of August and passed away on the 16th of August, 17 days.
Right.
Okay. And hospice was there. Halfway through that, they told him that he didn't want to go home. So they told him that they could move him into a hospice facility someplace. I think it was in West Salem, maybe. Maybe I'm wrong. And he chose not to do that either. And they just allowed him to stay in the hospital that extra week. And of course, he passed away there. But it was just 16 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunately a large percentage of patients also only get served 7 days or less. About 25% of Willamette Valley Hospice patients come
really?
Onto service in their last 7 days. Now, any amount of time you can get hospice care is important. But of course, the longer we're able to work with a family and with the patient themselves, the more we're able to help their symptoms, make sure they're comfortable, and help the family manage, like you were saying, the grief that's coming up, anything they may need to know what to expect for those final days or weeks of life.
Now, when my brother was in the hospital, we were there almost around the clock. Hospice was there almost around the clock as well. I mean, they would come in there, and what they would, you know, they would talk to my brother. He was in and out. They would talk to us. What can we do for you? What do you guys need?
You absolutely.
Know, that's important, isn't it?
It is. And actually, in hospice care, we consider our client to be the whole family. So it's not just the person with the illness or that's dying. It's also their caregivers. So whoever is surrounding that person, that usually that's a family member, but not always. Maybe it's a neighbor or friend.
Even after the person passes, you guys don't just shut the door and walk away.
This is true. It's really important to continue to provide that care for the people that had been doing all that caregiving.
Yeah.
And so we support the whole community with grief support activities. So for our hospice patients, their family members are going to get a phone call from us checking in. They're going to get some regular mailings, and they're going to get offered grief support groups or some one-on-one individual
sessions.
I'm still
getting regular mailings. And my wife keeps telling me, is there something you need to tell me? Are you okay, dear? Yes, I'm fine. On the same note there, one of your members who recently retired, Mr. McBride, took care of my mom. I remember running into him over at the Elsinore Theater a year or two later. And he walked up to me and put his hand on my shoulder and says, how you doing? You doing okay? And then it was about maybe a year or two later, I ran into him again. Same thing. You doing all right? Everything okay? You take care of people.
That's true. Yes. We take that job very seriously. We think it's an honor and a privilege to serve families during this really probably the most difficult time in life for all of us, to have to say goodbye to our loved ones or to be the ones saying goodbye to our loved ones. It's such a sacred time, really. And so we think it's just as important as the birth of someone as the death of someone. We are privileged to get to do this work.
One of the times that, again, visiting with my brother when the hospice showed up there too, they asked him, they says, what do you want? They asked him, what do you want? What can we do to make you comfortable? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want the end of life to come to you? That's important, isn't it?
It's really important. Hospice is all about quality of life. And so quality of life can mean something different to you, Terry, than to me, right? Whatever would give us quality of life might be entirely different at the end of our lives. And that's why it's so important that this hospice care is provided individualized just to what the person themselves wants to experience. And
so
we try our best.
Quality in life and then dignity.
Absolutely.
At the end of your life?
Yeah, that's a really important thing, I think.
All righty. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with our guest today from Hospice, Melissa Lindley.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
Hi, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo.
And this is Doc Nelson.
Hey, you know, I am on, Doc, every Saturday at 10 o'clock right here on KSLM. Do you ever listen?
Oh, all the time. I also know you're on Sundays and a repeat broadcast.
That's right. Sundays at 11 o'clock, you can hear me, and you never know who my guests are going to be.
They're like, always special.
Maybe even Doc Nelson.
I've been there.
There you go. So join us right here on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM, KSLM, and 1220 AM. We're done, Doc.
Oh, now?
Right now.
Say that.
Say tall Saltissimo.
You can't even say it. No, how was that again?
Saltissimo.
I'm not going to say it.
Come on.
No.
3 years, you think you can get it right. Say it. You're listening to Terry Saul. Saltissimo.
I don't want to do this again.
Ah, forget it. I'll do it myself. Good morning. We are back on the Terry Saul Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Don't forget you can hear us each and every Saturday at 10 a.m. and again Sundays at 11 a.m. Again, right here on Salem's original station, KSLM. Today's guest, Melissa Lindley from the Hospice, and we've been talking about hospice, and let's talk a little bit about something that I'm going to have a hard time saying.
Palliative. Yes.
What is palliative care?
Well, Willamette Valley Hospice has expanded our home-based palliative care program, and it's really unique. We're the only ones providing it in our area. But palliative care is a service that's available before hospice care is needed.
Okay.
So for folks that maybe have a life-limiting illness but aren't in that 6 months or less window of terminal illness, then palliative care might be an option. An example might be someone who has a cancer that they're trying to maybe not be, it might not be curable, but they're trying to manage with chemotherapy. So they're still wanting to continue that curative treatment, but they know that their life will be limited. At the same time, that cancer and those treatments might be causing some bothersome symptoms, pain, maybe some other symptoms. So palliative care is a program that can come to your home and help manage those symptoms, hopefully making it less necessary for you to go to the emergency room and spend less of your time dealing with those bothersome symptoms and more of your time focusing on your quality of life and living the rest of your life the way you want to.
How long do your volunteers normally last?
Like, how long do they volunteer with us?
Sure. Do you have a high turnover for volunteers?
Well, you know, sometimes we have college students that maybe move on to a career or higher education.
Okay.
But in general, our volunteers, I know volunteers that have been with us the entire time I've been employed at Willamette Valley Hospice. Absolutely.
Really?
And so it's really a privilege to know our volunteers. Unless they have some life event or, you know, change where they're now caring for a grandchild or going back to work or something like that. It's amazing how long our volunteers continue to be dedicated to their work.
All right, you ready for a story?
Sure.
All right. My brother was a carpenter for 40 years, and there's nothing he couldn't build. And I was sitting in the hospital with him one day, Salem Hospital. The hospice gal came in. I can't remember what her name was. Forgive me. She came in, and she's talking to him. The door is open, and he says, "See that fire extinguisher out in the hall?" She says, "Yeah." He goes, "It's crooked." And I looked at him, and I says, "Bob, you've got cancer. You're dying. Do you really care that that fire extinguisher is crooked?" He goes, "It's crooked." The next day, when the hospice gal came back in, she handed him a screwdriver. And he went out there in his little wheelchair, and he adjusted it, and he goes, "It's not crooked anymore." And I looked at the hospice gal, and I just said, "Thank you." She says, "It meant a lot to him. It meant a lot to him." That going that extra step, okay, she didn't have to do that. Come on. You know, she probably went home and grabbed a screwdriver out of her husband's toolbox.
I'm sure.
But that's, yeah. But you know what? That's made his day. He was able to just adjust that little fire extinguisher just a bit.
And maybe be a little bit of his old self for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. How important is that?
Well, I think that's really important. It was just like you and I were just talking about what I might want to do with my time near the end of my life might be different than yours. And obviously to your brother, precision was a big part of his job,
right,
his livelihood and what he enjoyed doing. So I think anything we can do to bring in those joyful moments to give our patients the best quality of life they can have is really our goal, our entire goal.
What do your volunteers do? Tell me what they do. They walk in there. Are they going to administer medicine? Are they going to give you a massage? What are you guys going to do?
Now, the volunteers wouldn't be doing that. The staff would be doing that. So our registered nurses serve as sort of the case manager for a patient and their family. And so they're going to bring in whatever staff members they need to help best serve this patient. That's always going to include a master's level social worker who could help the family from anything from funeral planning to how are they going to pay rent this month because all of a sudden dad's not working. And every family is different in terms of their situation. So our master's level social workers are really the Jack and Jills of all trades, I tell you. They know all the community resources, and they are problem solvers all day long. Every family is assigned a hospice aide, and that person can come in, and if a person's not able to get out of bed any longer, they can help them stay clean, change the sheets, wash their hair, do nail care. But they can also help with some light housekeeping, just to take a little burden off those family caregivers.
So they'll do all that?
They'll come in there and help with bathing. Yeah, so several times a week they would visit. The registered nurse might visit one or more times a week, depending on the needs of the patient. The hospice aide might visit several times a week. And then beyond that, they might say, "Gosh, you know, this patient's really having a hard time sleeping. Maybe if we brought in the massage therapist, they could help them relax enough to get to sleep. Or maybe they have a patient that's having trouble with breathing. And so they bring in our music therapist to help use music to help them breathe more regularly and get a deeper breath. All kinds of different options are available. Maybe they say, this family caregiver is really burnt out. Let's bring in one of our volunteers to help give them a break so they can take care of themselves for just one afternoon this week.
My brother loves Sinatra. and your gal says, "Do you guys have a Sinatra's tape?" "Oh, yeah, I got a CD. Bring it in." We brought it in there and put it in the background, and for 2 weeks, It just played in the background.
Oh,
on a loop.
That's so nice.
And he was fine with that. He loved Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Once the end of life happens, and it's so finite. I mean, that's the part that I remember thinking is like, you know, now my mom can't call and scream and yell at me, and I'd give anything to have her scream and yell at me one more time. Everybody grieves in their own way. How does hospice help me grieve? How do I know if I'm grieving correctly or not?
Right. You know, it's funny that that's a question that gets asked fairly often. There is no right or wrong way to grieve, but Willamette Valley Hospice has several master's level trained bereavement counselors on staff, and they're there available for the family members of our patients after the death of their loved one. We also have trained volunteers that make check-in phone calls just to say, how are things going? If folks say, well, they're, you know, I could really use a conversation with one of your counselors, then we'll schedule a meeting. We also offer grief support groups, both drop-in and closed groups. So it's the same people for 6 weeks, once a week. And gosh, I've met so many people in our community that went through a grief support group at Willamette Valley Hospice, and they still keep in touch and are
really
friends with the people in that grief support group.
Have you gone through the group itself?
I haven't gone through the group itself.
Okay.
But I have talked with so many people who have. One of our current volunteers still gets together once a month with the ladies from her original grief support group several years back.
How about arrangements? I mean, when someone passes, there's a lot of arrangements that have to be made, things that you don't think about, death certificates, ordering enough of them, funeral arrangements. I mean, I remember that when my mom passed, we went home that morning and we're all standing around, my brother and my sisters looking at each other going, what are we supposed to do now?
Right.
What do we do? Do we turn on TV and watch Oprah? What are we supposed to be doing right now? We didn't know. The hospice gal came over about an hour later and she was okay. Let's just, you know, calm down. This is what's happened. Now we move forward and try and get everything taken care of. Is that something hospice will do, or is that just we got lucky that day?
That was probably your social worker.
Okay.
And yes, part of their role is to help you prepare.
Because you feel lost. You feel lost.
Absolutely. Yeah. And imagine if you hadn't had someone that could help you walk through. Remember to ask the funeral home for several death certificates. Remember, because you'll need them for this, this, and that. It really helps to have somebody, because when you're grieving or you've had this, even though you were expecting the death, it's still a shock.
Right.
It's still a shock. And it's easy in grief to forget things. So it's really nice to have someone else there. We also have a tool online on our website at wvh.org called the My Life Portfolio. And that is a really great place that folks can leave a nice gift for their family members, all their important information in one place. And it has an after-death checklist at the back, which can help people know what they need to do after the death of a loved one.
Ready for another story?
Sure.
My mother, with her wicked sense of humor, she loved to go to the coast. So we're over at the coast one day, her and I, and she'd found out that she was had cancer. And she told me, she says, son, we're sitting there looking at the ocean. She says, when I go, check my coat pockets. That's where it's at. And I go, well, that's where what's at, Mom? She goes, that's where the money's at. Check my coat pockets. And I go, you got your money in a bank. She goes, I'm telling you, check my coat pockets. So after my mom passed away, my wife, Patty, and I had my sister over there. And I go, wait a minute, where's her coat? And I went to the closet, opened up a coat, and pulled out a piece of paper, opened it up, and it said on the paper, in her writing, gotcha.
Oh.
You little snot. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Right up to the end, she was still messing with us.
And was that comforting at that moment?
You know what? I still have the piece of paper.
Yeah.
I still have the piece of paper. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great because it was just her sense of humor, you know, and she just...
And a great example of how she'll always be with you, too.
Yes. So if somebody has lost somebody, again, I just mentioned earlier that recently we lost a friend of mine. You're not sure whether you're grieving right or wrong. Do they just call you and say, hey, can I talk to somebody?
Absolutely. So you're welcome to call us in the office. We have some great resources. We're happy to mail you. We also have a lot of resources on our website at wvh.org. So there's a section on bereavement services and information about grief and loss. Sometimes it's just nice to know that you're normal when you're grieving. You feel not like your normal self. And so it can be helpful to hear someone say, actually, this is really common for you to feel this way.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about pets. And people leave pets, and there's something that you can do to help us, right?
That's right.
All right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with our guest today from Hospice, Melissa Lindley. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Back in a moment.
Hey, this is Donny Osmond. I just want to say congratulations to my buddy Terry Saul. Terry is going to be opening up for BJ Thomas for a few shows.
Good job, Terry. Way to go, dude.
Welcome back with our final few minutes. Today's guest is Melissa Lindley from Hospice. I am Terry Saul. You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM, KSLM. Brought to you today by the Willamette Queen. Next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. That's the Willamette Queen. Let's talk a little bit more about Hospice. Melissa, what do they cover?
So when someone decides, yes, I'd like to come on to Hospice, we'll send a registered nurse out to explain the services, make sure that it's what they would like to do, and they'll sign up for Hospice. And at that point, then they're going to get those home visits from the nurse, the social worker, the hospice aide, and any of those other professionals that might be helpful, as many or as little as they need or want. They'll also get their medications that are related to their life-limiting illness. All those meds to keep them comfortable are all covered under their hospice benefit.
You people cover that?
Yes, as well as durable medical equipment. So if someone needs a hospital bed in their home, maybe they need other oxygen, other types of equipment to help keep them comfortable, then those things will be covered as well.
Okay, and no cost to the...
Right, and no additional cost, yeah. It's all part of that hospice, Medicare, or insurance benefit.
That's my mom needed that. As a matter of fact, you guys brought up, said, well, could we put a hospital bed in there? No. Well, yeah, but we can't afford one. No, we'll take care of it. Seriously. And they did. They had a hospital bed brought in there, and then after, when she went to the facility there, and they removed the bed to it and took care of it for us.
Right. One less thing for you to have to think about or worry about. And having those electric beds can be a lot more comfortable for folks.
Oh, they're incredible. They were incredible. Let's just say that we're on hospice and all of a sudden, doggone it, we're feeling better.
It does happen. So sometimes people come into hospice, they feel better because their pain is managed. And maybe because they feel better, they eat a little more or they're a little more active. They're able to get up out of their chair a little more and walk a little more. And lo and behold, their health improves. And if their health improves, then we can't ethically keep them on hospice care if it doesn't look like their life is still going to end within 6 months. And so we discharge them from hospice, graduate them, say, you know, we wish you well. We're glad you're feeling better. And if their health changes at any point, they can always give us a call again and come right back onto hospice.
Okay, so you're not going to turn your back and say,
no,
you're fine
absolutely
now.
Absolutely not.
Is hospice expensive?
The way
is medical bills expensive,
right.
You know?
So Medicare covers hospice at 100%.
Okay.
And most insurances cover it close to that also. Some may have a copay or deductible that needs to be met. But we're a nonprofit hospice, so we don't turn anybody away for inability to pay. It's really important to us, and we're very lucky that our donors have committed to us their funds, and we take that very seriously. And so we want those to be used for people that maybe don't have coverage or aren't able to get coverage.
How does somebody donate to hospice?
Right on our website. It's front and center, WVH.org. There's a donate button. You can come into our office in West Salem anytime. We're at 1015 3rd Street Northwest. Or give us a call and we'll talk to you about whatever way you'd like to donate.
And your phone number is the 588-3600?
That's right, 503-588-3600.
My mom had a little pet. Honoriest little dog you ever saw. Hated all of us, the dog did, but stuck with her right up to the end there. What about taking care of a pet? What is pet peace of mind? I see that on one of the brochures here. What is that?
Pet Peace of Mind is a really amazing program that we started several years ago, and we were fortunate to get a grant to help us start this program. And now we do an annual walk every year in September. This year it'll be on September 14th, called the Walk and Wag at Minto Brown Island Park, and that helps us pay for the program the whole year long. And what this program does is it helps people that still have their pets at home with them and want to keep their pets at home with them even though they're ill now, and it helps us help them. So with those funds...
Is that important to keep the pet there with you?
Well, what we've found is that most of our patients, their pets are a huge part of their quality of life. And so having to give up their pet because they can't take their dog for a walk every day or they can no longer empty a litter box, that would just reduce their quality of life, right? And our goal is to improve their quality of life and help them live the best they possibly can. So keeping their pets with them is a big part of that. And we have volunteers that could come out and walk dogs, empty litter boxes, deliver dog and cat food, take your dog to the vet clinic, take them to the groomers, whatever needs to happen to help keep that dog or cat or other pet safe and healthy and able to stay at home with their owner, then that's our goal. Now, we have those situations where then our patient dies and no one in the family can take in that animal. And we also help in those situations. We have amazing connections with local rescues that are committed to helping our patients by finding homes for their pets.
We used to tease my mom and tell her, you like that dog more than you liked us. And she says, you're right. Yeah, she'd agree. The dog doesn't give me grief. You guys gave me grief right. For 30, 40 years. So that really is important then to allow, and I think probably for the pets too, don't you think? I mean, the pets
get
are attached, and pets can sense when something's not right, and they want to be there. We have a little miniature toy poodle that when we're not feeling good, he's right there at the foot of the bed, mm-hmm. and he's not going anywhere all day long if that's what it takes. They can sense that.
They sure.
I think for people, knowing that pet is there might even help, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I think so. You know, we had a patient and walking his dog with his scooter, he would go out and get the mail every day when the letter carrier would arrive, and he'd take his little dog outside. And that was he lived alone, and that was his one human interaction for the day aside from the hospice staff.
Hmm.
So having that dog that needed to just get outside for a few minutes was sort of a way he was able to continue connecting with people in the world. And I think that was a big part of his quality of life. So being able to deliver food to him, make sure that dog got his veterinary needs met, was a big part of keeping his quality of life.
Now, we talked a little bit about earlier on the hour here. What happens? How do you, Melissa, deal with when you lose somebody that you've been with for 6 months or so? You go home and say to the family, I mean, are you bummed out? We just lost somebody. I mean, how do you deal with it yourself?
Right. As our staff? Yeah, it's hard. And we have our own family members, right? Many of us have family members that have been sick or dying or utilized Willamette Valley Hospice services while we've been staff members. So we have to come back to work and do our job the same, even though we have a loved one that's ill or dying at home too. So it can be a lot. It's really important for us, and we all recognize the need to practice what we call self-care. And so that includes taking care of our emotions, taking care of our physical health, our mental health, so that we can be there for our patients and their families.
Is it okay to cry?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My wife cries at the stoplight.
Yeah.
She'll cry anytime she can.
Absolutely. I think it's important that we acknowledge our emotions. And this is an emotional time in life to deal with the illness and death of a loved one. Caregiving in and of itself, even before someone gets to that last stage of life, is very stressful. And caregivers notoriously don't get the self-care they need. There are some studies that show caregivers are more likely to become ill or get chronic illnesses just because they've been caregiving. So it's really, I think, critical that we acknowledge our emotions, cry when we need to, get help when we need to.
All right, the website for hospice is wvh.org, or you can give them a call at 503-588-3600. You guys on Facebook, too?
And, we are on Facebook, and, Willamette Valley Hospice.
All right. If somebody would like to get some more information from you, should they just call the office there, the 588-3600 number?
Absolutely. Call and ask for me, Melissa Lindley, or any one of our staff members would be happy to help you. That's all what right. we're here for, is to support our community.
Well, you guys do an incredible job. I'm sure you hear that all the time. For the work that you do, it's fabulous. And people, if they do have the need, shouldn't hesitate to give you a scream. Because, believe me, you'll help. Melissa, will you come back and join us again sometime?
I'd love to. Thanks,
Terry. All right,
Terry.
Thank you. Our guests have been Melissa Lindley from Willamette Valley Hospice. Again, that phone number is 503-588-3600, or you can catch them online at www.wvh.org. That's wvh.org. That's going to wrap it up for the Terry Saul Show. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back and do this all over again next week right here on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.